Hey, welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here, as always, with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How's it going, Caitlin?
G'day, Tim.
You wrote an article titled, Stop Looking for Saviors.
Yeah.
And it has the picture of Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump
right on
the feature photo.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, I think this is actually kind of, like, it's a deeper problem, I think, that humans are facing right now more than anything else, that we've got to start taking responsibility for ourselves. We've got to start using our own privileges. We've got to understand that we have some privileges and use them. We've got to stop masturbating our victimhood about bullshit and use the actual, like, take responsibility for the things that we can do and change them. On an individual basis, and we've also got to stop looking for saviors. And like we were so excited about Obama. Obama was going to change everything, and he changed.
Hopey changey changey hope hopey hope. Hope.
Yeah, that's the man. He changed fuck all. In fact, he just edged like he was Bush.
It was W's third and fourth terms.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, just like, you know, a little bit like, well, definitely with a prettier face, but, and like with a little less kind of pride in the things he was doing. It was all under this sympathy of, oh, I can't, I've got, the Congress and they keep getting in my way of doing all the good things. But also he was also doing these bad things all the time as well, off his own bat.
Congress made him do it.
Congress made him expand the drone program.
And Congress that was made an obstructionist him Congress. Yeah. An obstructionist Congress bombed those children.
Yes. Yeah. So we had him, and then everyone was excited about two people in the 2016 election. And
the only two.
The only two. And one of them was not Hillary.
None of them were Hillary. Nobody was excited about Hillary.
Not even a little bit.
They're as excited as a crack addict who knows he's gonna have to suck a dick.
Oh my god!
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that thing on?
Yes.
Sorry.
Oh my god! I was gonna say, like, as excited as, like, when Nana brings out a banana bread and all the kids go, hey, Nana, love your banana bread, and no one does. But
That's far more family friendly. But also, I think mine's a little more accurate.
Yeah, probably.
Do this, make it happen, all right.
Well, and also it has that advantage of, like, the next day being all defensive about it. Like, trying to make it...
Don't you judge me!
Yeah, be an okay thing. What are you, homophobic? Whatever. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, I was excited about Hillary, but people were very excited about Trump, and they were excited about Bernie.
Right.
And so we may be looking at the 26th election that should have happened in 2020, because Bernie has come out and said that he's having a little think. He's taking his vitamins, according to his son, and he's thinking about a run.
Well, pick a good running mate, I guess.
Well, yeah. Oh, come on. Oh, that's macabre.
Well, he's ancient. Everyone's going to say that. I'm just saying the thing everyone's going to say.
Yeah.
He'll be, what, 78?
Yes. By then? Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It is old, isn't it? But anyway, so we've got two savior things going on that I kind of compared and contrasted in this article. So Bernie's saying he might run for 2020. Trump has announced that he is having a look at the TPP again. The only fucking good thing he
MAGA!
Did. Yeah. Yeah.
Make America great again.
That's the only promise he really made good on, and he made good on early on.
Like 3 days into his administration, he formalized it.
And I have been thinking this whole time, well, at least he got rid of the TPP. Because the planet-killing, ecocidal disaster that was, at least that's one good thing. And now he's going to step back on that, he reckons.
Yeah. He said, as long as we can get a good deal, for it, we might consider signing the TPP. Like, what? his whole thing was against these multinational trade agreements and going for nation to nation
bilateral ones. Yeah,
right.
And resisting the false song of globalism.
Yes, he's a globalist cuck.
He is a
MAGA.
Yeah,
MAGA guys.
Yeah.
Listen, he's lying to you.
Yeah.
He's a globalist cuck, you guys.
The floor is globalist cucks. We're not allowed to say that word, though. You know that makes
us alt-right
or whatever.
We're alt-right. Yeah. I have to engage people in their parlance.
All right, or else they won't understand.
Yeah, they don't speak it as socialist. I was supporting Trump at this point is just like nonstop exercise in reframing, isn't it?
Yeah. Which would have been about the same as people were doing this time in Obama's term. It's like, oh, well, you know, 3D chess, 4D chess.
You can't imagine. He's a genius.
He's a genius. Oh, yeah, no, that's okay. Obstruction of Congress. Blah, 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 blah. Went on and on until everyone kind of, like, I mean, they're still doing it, actually, about Obama.
They're still reframing
it. Yeah.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
He's the dreamiest dreamboat of a president.
Yeah. What you wouldn't give for that and stuff. Anyway. These two guys aren't going to save us, either of them. So Trump's already, like, capitulated. We know how long it takes the machine to digest a president. But Bernie, you know, we can't expect much more of him.
I expect absolutely nothing of him.
You don't expect anything. I expect a little bit more.
Jack shit.
No, come on. Like, he actually has really good ideas. He brings a lot of...
he says nice things. A lot of hope. A lot of change.
I don't know.
Maybe we've heard that before.
Yeah, no. It's the things that we heard from Bernie have now entered into... Look, before Bernie, before that primary, if you went online and said socialism, what happened? People just would, like... That was such a nasty word. It was like one-word debunk.
It was, yeah, kinda. But I think a lot of that was the fact that Republicans were saying that about Obama.
Right, yeah.
The Wall Street crony. Oh, he's a socialist? What? Yeah. Anyone who says that about... So they're throwing this word in a completely nonsensical way. Like how they call George Soros far left.
Right.
That's not a thing. So they just use this nonsensical term and they completely bludgeoned it out of existence. And then along comes this guy saying, I'm a socialist. And they start saying, he's a socialist. Well, okay, but you've been saying that in this jibber jabber nonsense way for a long time.
Right.
I think that had as much to do with it.
All right. What about the word oligarchy?
Oligarchy.
Yeah.
America is becoming an oligarchy.
Becoming.
The millionaires and billionaires and billionaires and millionaires. A handful of billionaires.
I'm so glad all that practice that you put into saying those words has finally paid off.
Millionaires and billionaires. Introduction of the word oligarchy, like he said oligarchy on mainstream television. I'll give him that. That's huge. That changed the dialogue. That injected some new concepts into the American consciousness. But then what happened? You know, he talked about how the whole primary campaign trail. He was talking about the fact that there's an elite class has co-opted U.S. politics, and then he taps out to Hillary and. And then everyone's just babbling about Nazis and Russia.
And Russian oligarchs. Suddenly, the world is full of Russian oligarchs.
That's the only time. Then all of a sudden, the mainstream pundits will start saying it. Like when Bernie was saying the oligarchy, da-da-da, about the elite class, it was... there was kind of like a shut up, don't say that thing from them. But now they're all saying it, but they're applying it to Russians.
Right. Well, according to Stephen Klubeck, he has instructed, you know, the people in the DNC who he gives lots of money to never use the word billionaires.
Yeah, don't say billionaires.
Yeah.
What? like it's some sort of ethnic slur against a minority or something. Don't use the B word! How dare you? Like, he got huffy about it on, what was that, the MSNBC or whatever. He did an interview.
Yeah.
He wrote a whole article about it a while back. It was, yeah, he talked about it like it's an actual offensive thing that you can say. And he straight up came out and said, I've talked to this Democratic leader and that Pelosi and I forget who else, saying, yeah, don't you dare say that or I'll withdraw funding.
That is peak liberal, isn't it? I can't think of anything more liberal than that.
Yeah, treating billionaires like it's an ethnic slur.
And
using identity politics for billionaires. Using that is, and you can't get any more Democrat than that. They used it all up.
Over the cliff. That's it. So, yeah, so anyway, he's going to go have a run for it or whatever. And I just wanted to say to people, look, he might be better. Whatever. We need to actually take him seriously. Also, to his credit as well, can I also say that during the primaries he said this, it's not me, it's us. This revolution is going to take millions of us. And it's going to take millions of us standing up together and fighting this thing in whatever way possible. And so it is up to us. We can't let we can use him as a weapon and we can use him as a battering ram, but it's not going to be like a he's not going to go in there and magic his little magic wand and the birdies will come in and change everything in a Disney way. Although I would love that. I would really fucking love that. But that's not going to happen. We're going to actually have to keep fighting and keep fighting right now. Like, there's no time like the present, and we can do that by fighting the propaganda machine.
Right. Yeah. Because that's really what it boils down to. That's what we are always talking about. Like, they, no matter who you have in office, there's this establishment propaganda device running nonstop, trying to manipulate the way mainstream America thinks and votes.
Right. And manipulate mainstream America into thinking that there is a democratic process in place.
Right. Yeah, there's the fact that the lie that there is a functioning democracy in America is the probably number one lie that they're spinning right now.
Right, all the time. Even just talking about this stuff gives validity to the idea that the will of the people has anything to do with what is going on Capitol Hill. Like, people just don't have a say anymore. And so that's the number one thing American people need to wake up to. And the way that money has totally co-opted their ability to push the country forward in a way that they see fit, to enable them to have lifestyles that they should have, like that they are worthy of, and also to kind of stem this freaking human extinction event that is coming up. Like, the fact that no one is inside that doorless, windowless building that of so-called democracy, American democracy. No humans appear to be in there, and they're all running this ship right into the ground. So for the sake of, you know, not just our children, for our sake, we will see this in our lifetime. We need to arrest this omnicidal, psychopathic power structure that will see us to an early grave if we don't do it now.
Right. So what specifically does real revolution look like to you?
Well, real revolution, I think, you know, comes from the hearts and minds of the people and of those, from those individuals, right? Real revolution is when people use everything in their power to attack the system, the status quo, and to bring it down in whatever way they can. Like, a revolution is a necessarily a populist thing.
Right.
It doesn't come from an authority. You know, it may have, like, some charismatic leaders, but in general, if the job's going to get done, everyone needs to play their part, and they do it with everything that they can muster.
So you can't really say what everyone should be doing because it's an individual basis, right? You need to really look at yourself and what you got going on and what you can do.
Well, yeah, and what soft edges you see? Like, I mean, we can do this. I know just from talking to our readership that we have people who are in high places in Hollywood, in the science, in universities, in all sorts of areas that are very interesting. Like they are politically interesting, and that there is individual ways that those people can move and create space and throw some shade on the propaganda. Because remember, more than anything, this is a disruption campaign. We are disrupting the smooth gears, the smooth running machine that is the is corporate America, that, you know, sings the lullaby to the sleeping Americans every night on CNN, MSNBC, NPR in the morning, and you know, it's like, well, everything will be okay. We'll just get a nice Democrat back in office, and everything will be okay. And so we've got to alert people that there really is a big problem here. That the people in charge that we think are in charge aren't actually in charge, and that those who are in charge should not be, and that they do not have a good plan for humanity. It's a disruption campaign, and we're trying to disrupt the status quo in all the different areas wherever we can,
in order to let Americans know that their country is sick and needs help.
And needs help, yeah. Just like getting it to throw up some symptoms, because, you know, unless Americans actually know to the extent to which their systems are sick, then they're not going to be they're not going to do anything about it.
Right. Yeah. And that goes for both sides of the political aisle as well. You mentioned the Democrats, but it's the Republicans, of course, as well. They think as long as we keep a Republican and the Republicans in charge, everything will be fine.
Right.
And really, it's just this bogus good cop, bad cop puppet show.
Yeah.
But that's not what we learn about as Americans. When I was young, I was taught that, you know, there's three branches of government, and it's democracy, and the people elect a representative government to reflect the will of the people, and then you get your legislative branch, and everyone honors the will of their constituents, and you got your judicial branch, and they make sure the Constitution is honored. Ha! And then you get your executive branch, and that's someone more than half of America likes and thinks that is the right person for the job, and they just do the best they can. It's all bullshit. The country doesn't really work that way. It hasn't in the living memory of anyone.
Right.
And increasingly less so from generation to generation until now. It's a pure joke.
Yeah, it's just theater.
But we believe that we have this real government with a real democracy, where elected officials protect the interests of Americans.
Yeah.
To some extent. That does not happen.
Yeah.
You have an elite class which uses governments as tools controlling American affairs and a bunch of other nations as well. And yeah, as long as you got the talking heads on TV telling everybody that everything's working normally, and you elect the Democrats or the Republicans, and then normal politics will happen, and it's a good system that works.
Yeah.
You need to it's a matter of just snapping people out of that lullaby and saying, holy shit, no, you're all being fucked.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not your fault that you're living hand to mouth, in the richest country in the world.
Right. It's because this is happening.
Yeah, and that it is pure illusion. A friend of mine just went to the States, actually, and she's had quite a it's quite a shock to her. I think she didn't realize. I mean, I think she's been there before, but not for a long time. She couldn't get over the poverty. She couldn't get over the homelessness, but she also couldn't get over the kind of the facade. And I think that is very telling.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like, plenty of countries have poor people,
right?
But America has this great PR machine called Hollywood.
Yeah,
where you have this country depicted a certain way all the time.
Yeah,
it's nothing like that.
And it's. I was talking to her about it too. There's another element, because both of her and I have traveled a lot, and I've been to a lot of places with a lot of poor people. But people in other countries who are poor will meet your eyes. They're not ashamed of being poor. They will often be quite cheeky about being poor. You know, they'll do a little barter dance, or they'll try and whatever. There's no shame in being poor. That's just what they are. In the US, I don't even like going to McDonald's. I don't like being served by people who feel so inferior to me, and it's clear that they feel inferior to me. It's so weird to me, just from a selfish point of view, a living wage makes my life a whole lot better here in Australia. The fact that we can go to McDonald's and the person who's serving me probably has a nicer car than I do makes me feel better. Like, I like it. And the fact that if I'm a bitch to them, they will, you know, they'll give me shit back because they feel entitled to. I like that. And the fact that if they're... boss says to them, hey, don't do that, they'll probably give shit to their boss as well, because they don't care if they have the job or not, because they're the safety net and they can move on to another job if they want to quite easily.
So human dignity gets honored a lot more.
Dignity is so important, and I think it's so important to everyone's life. If you're surrounded by people who have no dignity, it's depressing. I just find America really depressing.
Because of that lack of dignity.
Yeah, just makes you want to cry. You don't know whether to cry or hug or what to do there. Like, it's a very, very strange dystopian place.
And everyone's just being told that, yeah, this is normal. This is actually your guys' fault because you voted for this.
Yes. Or you didn't work hard enough, or you didn't, like, there's all these weird, crazy ways why it's okay to have people so poor that they're dying on the streets.
It's such an abusive relationship.
It really is.
Yeah, and like you said, everyone brings in their own unique gifts for how they can wake America up. It's impossible to say what's the right one because everyone's got their own strengths and weaknesses and points of access and stuff. But everyone has one gear of the machine that they can throw sand in.
Yeah.
At least in their own way.
In their own way. Yeah.
And it, like you said, it is a disruption campaign.
But that doesn't, like, you might not work in, you know, a university or a science lab or whatever like that. You might just be a mum with kids. But talking in the playground with mums, you can throw a little sand in the gears. We're just trying to wake people up. Not in a, like, you know, you don't have to be a raving lunatic about it. Just in a gentle way, like pointing out the weird things that are happening and getting people to feel more entitled about the things that they should have that they don't.
Yeah, I think a general, like, this is all fake bullshit. Really resonates with Americans.
Yeah.
That seems to be something that they can understand, even if they don't understand all the ins and outs and everything.
Right.
Just pointing out, just with a kind of attitude, is, oh, God.
And that elicits disgust. And disgust is a really potent, natural, healthy reaction to things that need to be expelled. You know, it's like a vomiting sort of, like, get it out of me sort of. Yeah, there needs to be a general disgust for the fakery.
Right.
I think that would be really helpful.
Well, right now it's that impulse is there, but it's being misdirected at the symptom that is Trump.
That is Trump. Yeah.
Everyone's disgusted that he's a thing, but that's not the right target. So it's a matter of helping people see the actual illness that needs to be expelled.
Yeah, in its entirety. You've got to see all the working parts to eject it as a whole, don't you?
Yeah, there's all sorts of ways to do that. Like we're always talking about, the internet has given our species a completely unprecedented ability to share ideas and information. There's all sorts of conversations that you can have in that way.
Right. And just ways of, like, these ways of communicating. I'm really excited, too, actually, about the internet does, I do feel a lot of hope today, just today, actually, pretty much, and optimism that the internet will be able to survive these crackdowns of censorship in Facebook and Twitter and stuff.
People are always finding wiggle room, aren't they?
They're always
finding ways to escape and ways to get ideas out there.
Right. It looks like steam. It's getting more steam. Mm. Some was talking about all sorts of, like, I think young people especially are really good at finding the new cool stuff. Because I said it would be really nice to MySpace Facebook, and someone said, we've been trying to do that for years.
Right.
I think there's lots of exciting new apps coming up and social media possibilities. And, you know, we don't really need to be, like, using these kind of old school ways of talking to each other too. Like, journalism in and of itself is a really good format for getting information out there. But, like, just talking to people and memes and things like that are also, like, getting information into the chaos of the organism. So it doesn't necessarily need to be in this kind of quasi-old-school way that we have been doing stuff.
Right, yeah. And really the more new and innovative what you're doing is, the harder the establishment, this archaic,
old, yeah,
rotted thing,
full of old people,
full of old people, the harder time they'll have keeping up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're just starting to figure out how to crack down on Facebook and Twitter, and already everyone's way ahead of them figuring out other ways to get the word out.
Yeah. And the kids have moved on, you know, they don't use Facebook or Twitter. They use Snapchat and a whole host of other things. Right. And so at some point we'll find one of those apps that they're using. We'll find the right one to move to as well.
Probably following the 14, 15, 16-year-olds.
Right. Yeah, because that's what you do. Yeah, they always lead. But I think diversity is the key at the moment. I think that's what, like, if people can just get on as many platforms as possible, that's really helpful. As many as you can handle, anyway, keeping up to date with. But yeah, it's exciting. It is exciting, and I actually don't see any. I don't see how we can lose. I just don't know how much time we've got.
Right.
But but we've got no choice. Really.
We've got a lot of tools.
We've got a lot of tools and a lot of enthusiasm. Well, I do anyway. A lot of energy for it, and also, like, this kind of, well, you know what? Are we going to just lie down? We can't. Lying down is dying.
Right.
Literally. So we've got to do it anyway.
Hmm. All right. So Caitlin is a entirely reader, listener, supported journalist, artist. So if you would care to support her work here, you can toss her some money on PayPal or Patreon. Links in the description. Or you could buy her book, Woke, A Field Guide for Utopia Preppers, which is really great. It's got a lot of good reviews on Amazon. Follow Caitlin on Facebook and Twitter to find out what's going on with her. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Keep fighting.
Thanks, y'all.